In the fourth reading of Parshas Miketz, the Torah records that everything happened exactly as Yosef said it was going to happen. Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun Gimel, chapter 41, verse 53, Vatichleno Sheva Shnei Asova. The 7 years of plenty came to an end. Asher Hoya Be'eretz Mitzrayim, that were in the land of Egypt. The Targum Onkelos says, he renders the word Vatichleno, and these years came to an end, he says, Vishlima. They concluded. It comes from the terminology of something which is Nishlam, something which is completed. In the Daz Akenim and Balei HaTosfos, as well as in the Chizkuni, it says that the word Vatichleno comes from the word Kalil, like the word Kalil as Yoifi. Everything was beautiful. It's a beautiful time. People ate well, they were sated, nobody had any worries. Beautiful 7 years. Nobody minded Yosef, nobody minded his rulership, nobody minded his rules. It's a beautiful time. And then those 7 years came to an end. And in verse 54 we read, Vatchilena. This time slightly vowelized different and spelled with a ches, a very different word. Vatchilena sheva shnei harav. Vatchilena, says the Targum, and it began. It began the 7 years of famine, lovay to come. Kasher omar Yosef, just as Yosef said they would. Vayira av b'chol haratzis. The famine, the economic collapse was everywhere. O b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, but in the entirety of the kingdom of Egypt, ho yolochem, there was bread. The Dazakenim and the Chizkuni, who interpreted the word vatichlenu, from the word Kli Lasyefi, a beautiful time, they say Vatchilena comes from a very different kind of word. It comes to the word Choyli, comes to the word illness or sickness or malaise. And he says, here people began to feel ill and sick, but not they weren't functioning themselves anymore, as the hunger set in. Now why does it say the years of plenty? It doesn't say the way Yosef said, but the years of famine, that says Kasher Omar Yosef. So the Arachaim says the following. He says the truth is that when things went well, the people say, well, yeah, it was going to go well anyway. All right, yes, he's a smart guy. He knew it was going to go well. It wasn't so bad before. Nobody was really that impressed with Yes's vision when things went really well, because in general, when things go well, nobody thinks twice. Everybody assumes, what do you mean? It's supposed to go well. isn't that way it's meant to be? And then when the famine suddenly hit, the 7 good years came to an end, and all of a sudden people were starving. And nobody had any food. They said, oh, this guy, Yosef, he's on the money. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And this is the first time when the whole country started to speak about Kasher Omar Yosef, as Yosef has said, just as the man said. He said it was going to happen, and it happened. And furthermore, the notion that they had 7 years of plenty, 7 beautiful years, and that suddenly the famine hits, and now people are starving, was actually shocking. It's unpredictable. You have a good day in the stock market, a bad day in the stock market, but that all previous gains should be erased and nobody should even remember there was good times, which of course was Yosef's interpretation, that the skinny cow swallowed and they didn't swell, they remained emaciated, which meant, said Yosef, that you wouldn't even know that it was 7 good years. That's how bad the 7 years will be. So he said, this was something that was extraordinary. Nobody could have imagined that. Rabbeinu Bechaya maintains that in the first year, things weren't so bad. First year, okay, economic collapse, nobody made money for a year. There was no harvesting. All right. He said, by the time the second year came around, people started going hungry already. You know, they coasted for a year. And then it was as if the good times had never happened. And this was tough. Ba'atirev kol eretz Mitzrayim. All of Egypt now was yearning. They all became needy. They went and cried out to the Pharaoh. Lalochem, they said, Pharaoh, give us bread. Pari said, what are you coming to me for? L'chol Mitzrayim, all of Egypt, everybody equally. He said, L'chuli Yosef, go to Yosef, don't come to me. Asher Yemer Lachem, Tasso, whatever he'll tell you, that's what you should do. So this is very odd. L'chul Yosef, okay, fine, go to Yosef. Yosef is the guy in charge. But why Asher Yemer Lachem Tasso? What does that have to do with what he'll tell you to do? Just go to Yosef and get your food. So Rashi says, number one, that the terminology that Tater uses, vatirav, Vatirav means like this. They were hungry. Comes the word ra'avayin. And the obvious question is, why were they hungry? Was it a state secret that there was going to be a famine? This was headlines in the paper. Everybody knew about it. Yosef didn't hide anything. He made it very clear to everybody, this is what's coming. So you'd think, if everybody was told, even if they didn't see it right away, but they were told this was going to happen, they'd have enough seichel, enough intelligence, enough wisdom, enough foresight to put food away. Why did they do that? So Rashi says they did. They did. But here, kiva tvuasam, they didn't have modern methods of storage where things could last 7 years. Everything rotted. Everything, sha'atsu, all the things that they squirreled away, everything rotted. Chutz, mishal Yosef, except of Yosef. What was Yosef's trick? So Yosef, whenever he would gather grain, he would take some of the soil that came along with the grain. And he placed the soil, and the soil that the grain grew in had within it some kind of properties of preservation. And that's how he preserved the grain. And whether this actually works today or not, I never Googled to find out. It'd be interesting to know. But bottom line was, everybody's rotted and Yosef's didn't. So there's a lot of hunger. And they go to the Pharaoh. Everybody's got rotten grain. Can't eat rotten grain. And the Pharaoh said, what do you want from me? Asher yomer lechem tasu. Whatever he tells you, do. What's asher yomer lechem? Whatever he'll tell you. What's the issue? Go to Yosef and get food. Says Rashi, I'll tell you why. And here he invokes the words of our sages. But we'll just explain the unusual verbiage of the Torah here. The fi. Shahaya Yosef eimer lechem sheyimaylu. Yosef was saying to them, it's time to get a bris milah, my friends. Get a circumcision, then we can talk. And they said, you gotta be kidding. And then, what? No way, it ain't happening. And they were running to the Pharaoh. Shabo Eitzalpari, they came to the Pharaoh. Do you hear what this guy Yosef wants from us? He wants the whole country circumcised. Amr lahem. So the Pharaoh said to them, well, why didn't you put away provisions? Why did you put yourself in this situation? After all, you knew. He made a very, very public announcement. Everybody knew this was coming. Why weren't you wise enough? Then you wouldn't have to do what he says. You'd have your own food. Amrulay, they said, Pharaoh, asaf no harbe. We did. We gathered tremendous amounts. But v'herkivu, all rotted. All rotted. Omer lehem, the Pharaoh said, "Im kain, if so, kol asher yemer lechem, that whatever he tells you, tasu, you better do." Harei gozer al atvua. Clearly, they believed in magic. He said he didn't understand that things are rot. If Yosef's didn't rot, why did theirs rot? So the Pharaoh figured this must be some kind of wizardry. He said clearly he decreed that everything should rot, and rotted. Verikiva, my migzer aleinu. What if he decrees we should rot? Venomous will all die. This guy is powerful. You just better listen to him. And so the people came back, and there was no choice, and they needed food. And Yosef coerced all of Mitzrayim to go ahead and to circumcise themselves. Now, with regard to the idea that the people were so hungry, the Medrash Lekach Tev tells us that in the good times, they got used to eating three times as much as they needed. Mm. Like Western civilization, the stuffs they're faced with three meals a day. And the people were literally obese. They ate so much. When you're used to such plenty, and you have so much food, and all of a sudden there's nothing left, and you were hungry, oh, this was a painful situation. They were not happy at all. And therefore, they felt the hunger immediately, but the hunger did creep in. When the hunger crept in, there's no choice but to circumcise themselves. Now, this needs to be understood. Why in heaven did Yosef insist on getting circumcised? Rashi does not address that. He tells us the matter of fact. Asher yomer lechem, whatever he says, you better do. Why did he say that? Why did he demand that? Why did he want that? So here the Rebbe addresses this. And in Al Derech HaRemez, if you look in the Kli Yoker, it's a very beautiful explanation. The Fei Torah and the Medrash talks about this. But here's the Rebbe's explanation in a very pshat way as to why Yosef would have made the Egyptians get circumcised. Page Reish Mem Vav in the Bure Chumash, Simin Yud. So the question is, why did he demand that he circumcise themselves? They never had such a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah for ordinary people to circumcise themselves. It's only a mitzvah to Avram and to his progeny. There is an opinion that Amram says that Bnei Yishmael have to get circumcised also. And actually most of them do. Whatever. Who is Ben Yishmael or not is a good question. Or the Bnei Keturah, the children of Keturah. But the Egyptians, they never had a mitzvah. God never asked them to do that. So why would Yosef force them? And the Rebbe says, Yeseda Mizu. The question gets even bigger. The plot thickens, as they say. Al HaPasuk, on a verse much earlier in this book, in Parshas Noach, Genesis 9, verse 5. Over there it says on the Pasuk, Ve'ach esdimchem lenafshe seichem edrish. I will demand blood. Blood spilled will have to be paid up. So on a literal level, this refers actually to murder. That if you take a life, this bloodletting, Hashem says, I'm not going to let that pass. But over there, Pirush Rashi, Rashi explains that on a very literal level, Hakavonahu le'asra b'neinech lishpech es damam shalahem. You're not allowed to spill blood. Not to spill blood. Spilling blood is a sin. The truth is that life, human life is sacred. Not only human life is sacred, human wellness is sacred. And to actively do something, to harm yourself, is prohibited by the Torah. You're not allowed to do it. So if you're not allowed to spill your blood, it's very hard to do bris milah in a bloodless way. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not possible. So if he's going to be blood, eich yitochen, how is it possible then, Efe, she Yosef darash b'metziyim lishpich es damam, that Yosef demanded that they should spill blood, which is l'lei kol tzedech. There's no reason. He's not compelled to do this. So you're forcing the entire country to violate a biblical command. The Torah says he shouldn't spill blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'ach asdimchem lenafshchem edresh, and you're making them spill blood. What was the point? It makes no sense. So A, there's no mitzvah. B, not only is no mitzvah, but quite the contrary, it is actually a sin. So what do you do it for? The Yeshleimar, so the Rebbe says, here is a likely answer. Kishetziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, al Avram lamelas atzmev es b'nei beisei, when God commanded Abraham that he should circumcise himself and his household, Nemarlei, it says, and this is a direct quote, which is found in Genesis 17, verse 13, it says, quote, Himal yimel yelid beischa, you will surely circumcise those born in your household. And then the Torah adds two words, umiknas kaspecha, those who are considered to be part of your household by virtue of the fact that they were inducted through purchase. Those who were inducted into the household, purchased into the household. What does this refer to? It refers to slaves. Now, slavery, when you hear about it in English, you think of beatings, you think of abuse, you think of human rights violations. But actually, if you find out what the Torah describes this reality, it's exactly the opposite. Whatever you eat, he has to eat. The mattress you sleep on, he has to sleep on. And on the contrary, most of the ideas of human rights come from the Torah's description of how the slave should live. Which is not necessarily advocating for slavery. It's just that if you're going to do it, this is the way it has to be done. And this is the way things were once upon a time. So the Torah tells you, this is the way it has to be done. But human rights abuses, chas v'shalom, are never sanctioned. But at any rate, there's this idea that a person becomes part of somebody's household. They get bought in. So Hashem told Avraham Avinu that if there are these kind of permanently indentured laborers who are going to be part of your household, they have to have a bris milah too. You know that an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish servant, is actually part Jewish. He's got to go to the mikveh. He's got to get a bris milah. That's pretty serious. And the moment he's freed, he becomes fully Jewish, like a regular convert. Kolaymar, in other words, Shavram nitztav alam ulesavadav. Avram was given a commandment to circumcise all of his servants. Vitzivuze lechol rakal Avram. This commandment does not go only for Avram. Elagam alzare achrav. It also applies to his progeny going forward. Kimefur shom, like it says there openly in the pasuk, ubein zaracha acharecha. This is between you and your future progeny. Now, to be sure, like the Rambam says in his commentary on Perek Gidon Asher, Maseches Chulin, that the reason we do Bris Milah today is not because God told Avraham Avinu to do it, rather because God told us through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But for Yosef at the time, it would have been applicable because of what God told Avraham Avinu, because he said, Zaracha Acharecha. So for us who live after Matan Torah, Zaracha Acharecha is fulfilled when God commands it through Moshe Rabbeinu. But for Yosef, who was a grandson of Avraham, a great-grandson of Avraham, this was binding upon him by dint of the Torah's actual law. Now, the Rebbe reasons, the Rebbe makes the calculation. Because, as we say in this week's Parsha, that Yosef was the ruler of the whole land. So Yosef himself reasoned Because the Pharaoh said, "Ubaladav layarim ish es yadiv es ragli." Without Yosef, you couldn't make a move. You couldn't ride a horse. You couldn't do anything. B'chaleretz Mitzrayim. In other words, all of the Egyptians were under the influence to sway the dominion of Yosef's governance. So Nechshavru HaMitzrayim, this would make the Mitzrayim considered to be Miknas Kaspi Shal Yosef. They're his actual servants. V'lachain, Yosef reasoned, if they're my servants, l'chein haya alav lama leisam. Here the Rebbe says something incredible. L'fizeh yuvan heitav, this will help us understand the beautiful methodology that Rashi chooses words so carefully. Rashi says something in the beginning, which I glossed over before. It says, L'fisha haya Yosef aymer lehem. Haya is like he was. Because Yosef was saying to them. Maybe Yosef was saying, but Yosef said. But here it's the point is haya Yosef. Shemi menu mashma, from this it seems, shadrisha zu, this demand, haysa kayemis mikfar. Yosef already put out an edict. Everybody's got to get circumcised. What did everybody do? They didn't do it. Why should they do it for? Who's going to sign up for that? Even flu shots, 3/4 of the population doesn't take it. Why? For good reason, I don't know. Nobody's going to get forced into that. Yosef darash mehem zeis. Yosef demanded this of them. And he demanded it at kedem l'chein. He demanded it right in the beginning. As soon as he had his meteoric rise to power, and they were under his sway, he said, bris milah, circumcision. Before the years of the hunger came, because they were miknas kaspet. And they were obligated according to Yosef's reasoning. But the thing is, ad'ata le'shamu b'keile. They listened to everything he said, but not in this area. But when the famine hit, and now what Yosef said is happening. The Egyptians all of a sudden had to turn to Yosef. And they had to get their food, Kadeshim Gurlaham Tvua, in order to sell them food. Yosef said, you want food? I've been saying something to you for quite a while now. You do what I say, then you'll be able to get what you're looking for. Is it coercion? Yes, it is coercion. It was Miknas Kaspay. This was the slaves. And the interesting thing is, this is the idea now also helps us understand this is Kasha Amar Yosef. Now, this is what Yosef said. In the beginning, Yosef said, nobody really listened to him. Now, when there was a famine, and everybody needed Yosef, now he's really in control. And that's how and why Yosef enforced circumcision, a new policy in ancient Egypt. I was telling Rabbi Robinson before that I did some Googling last night, and I found an image. It was an image. I Googled Egyptian medicine. There's an image of people being forced to get circumcisions. It should be like, it's like a hieroglyphic. It's unbelievable. This is much like a postcard from antiquity. Yeah, the story with Yosef. Here's the story. I didn't like research what that image is about, but it certainly seems to be a compelling proof of what we read now in the Torah, that Yosef demanded bismillah from everybody. And here's the upshot. The upshot is Yosef was responsible for the people. He was responsible to influence them in a positive way too. He had responsibility, which links and dovetails directly into Hanukkah, in which we have a responsibility to try to influence the world around us as well. Happy Hanukkah.